This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Content for greater life, content for greater life, content for greater life. Oh God, you give me greater life every time I come before your presence, Lord. It's greater life, content. Push forward, for great is the Lord and his fullness thereof. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. And he has answers for you. He has answers for you. He's here to meet you at the point of your need. So contend, push forward, and take what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we glorify you. We give you all the praise. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I want you to cast out every distraction. Whatever will put you away from what God is doing today, cast it away and say, Lord, I am here for you. Say, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready. Take me higher and take me deeper by the power of your name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. This is Koinonia, intimacy, partnership, and fellowship. Hallelujah. I want us to just give honor and praise to Jesus, the Master and Maker, our Lord and King, the one who is the owner of this church. Just give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join me, please, with Jesus' joy, and let us say a big thank you to our Father, our teacher, our mentor, our life coach, Apostle Joshua Selman. Oh, what a blessing that we have, that we have, that we are trained every day, week in, week out. Hallelujah. This is Koinonia, and I welcome you to Koinonia School of Ministry 2023, Light and Salt. Hallelujah. Please, before you take your seats, I want you to just join me to do something. I want you to just join me to say thank you to the Koinonia School of Ministry coordinator and mentors. Every week, they spend their whole life training us, teaching us. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sirs. Thank you. And I want you to join me one again to say thank you to our ministers and heads of department. They have been well with us. They have taught us, contended, and praised us. And today, what you are seeing today is a result of their sacrifice. Please help me say thank you to them. Celebrate them. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then, of course, very, very importantly, turn to the person on your left and right and say, I see the light in you. And you are so tasty as salt. Hallelujah. You may have your seat in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The School of Ministry is not just a school to raise people in the fivefold ministry, but is a place to raise ministers. Please, can I have 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17? We'll be reading all the way to verse 20. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So anyone who is in Christ, that means everyone who has submitted and accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior. Verse 18. Okay, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Now, this is what God did. After he created you, new creature, the next thing he tells us is how that works out for him. He reconciled you to himself. It was not our act. It was not our duty. But he chose out of his own free will to reconcile you and I to himself through Jesus Christ. He did not stop there, but he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means everyone who is in Christ is a minister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me go quickly to what we have today. I have the honor and the privilege to be bringing the word, and it will not just be me, but I have my brothers who will be coming shortly. And I want you to just, with that heart, because the Spirit of God is here, the grace of God is available for us, and everything God has designed is going to work out for you. Everything you came with, you will not go back the same, because you will be light and you will be salt at the end of today. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13, we'll be reading all the way to verse 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Please, in 1 second, just bow your heads and just ask the Lord that what you have for me today, O God, I am here and I am ready. Let me be transformed by your word. Holy Spirit, I am here as your vessel. Speak in and through me. In Jesus' name we pray. So let's have that verse again, please. Matthew 5:13. Apostle has taught us time and time again, giving us the definition of what light is and what salt is. Allow me to read what he defines for us. Light is illumination and revelation. We can find that in Ephesians 1 from verse 17 and 18. Our brother read it before. That the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light, NIV says. And so light is illumination and revelation. Apostle also teaches us that light is what makes things that are hidden to become manifest. Let's have Ephesians 5 verse 13 in this light. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So light brings into manifestation what has been hidden and what has always been there. So as we go into the word, allow the light of God's spirit. We read scriptures that you may have read a lot of times, thousands of times, but like 2 Corinthians 3 says that every time we look into God's word, we are changed from one level of glory to another level of glory. So please, Matthew 5 verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. This is a statement of identity. God is not here saying that I want you to cry and try to become salt, but he says that if you are a new creation because of what Christ did, you have become salt. So salt is an identity. And in verse 14, it says that ye are the light of the world. I want us to compare these two scriptures very quickly. He says first in verse 13, ye are the salt, and he gives a jurisdiction that salt is of the earth. And then when he speaks about light, he says you are the light, and the jurisdiction is of the world. Now this shows me a character of what salt is. First, salt is of the earth. That means that the interaction between salt and earth has to do with a close contact. Because in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, God created heaven and earth. He created a spiritual realm and he created a physical realm. An apostle has always taught us that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Because our God does not create anything that is tohu abohu, but he creates things that are beautiful. So something happened that led that this light became snuffed out, and what was ready and what was available became darkness and chaos. And so we are getting into this scripture and we begin to understand what God did by the power of his word, because when there was darkness, he spoke light. So we come to this understanding that Jesus is speaking, you are salt of the earth. That means your interaction is in everything that's in the physical realm. So whatever it is, be it an animal, be it a thing that has been created, as far as it's in this physical world, ye are salt. So what does that mean? What really is salt? Apostle teaching us said that salt is that substance that gives taste and it preserves. So if Jesus is saying that you are the salt of the earth. That means the earth depends on you being tasty and you being the preserver. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to that same scripture, Matthew 5:13. He says there's something that happens to salt that is a warning. But if the salt have lost its savour, has lost its savour. This is a past tense. This helped me to understand that this is a process. It didn't happen at once, but it's a process. That means first you were salt, but something happened along the line and that person begins to lose his savour. This brings me to a story of Abraham and Lot. The Bible speaking calls Lot a righteous man. Lot was righteous because he was associated with Abraham. Everything that Abraham was, Lot learned from him. But the moment he got separated from Abraham and went to a land, he should have been salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. But something happened with him that made him to lose his saltiness, that he became someone that was ignored. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. Please, can we have that? This scripture, Paul gives us a description of what happened to Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. That daily, every time, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So Lot came into a land, he was salt. He began to interact with the people, interact with the systems in that area. But because of the wickedness, please kindly leave the scripture for me, please. Because of the wickedness and the corruption in that land, he was continually vexed. How many times have you gone to your workplace and you're always angry? You're always sad because of the things that are happening in that area. Verse 8. For that righteous dwelling among them, the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Because of unlawfulness, Lot began to lose his savour. Every day he was vexed. And because of the wear and tear of contending with wickedness, he lost his savour. And that's why Jesus said that when that salt loses its savour, it becomes good for nothing but to be cast out and thrown by men. And we know that Lot had a very sad ending. So today, salt needs to preserve. Salt needs to be tasty. Praise the Lord. Light in verse 14. Ye are the light. Light is an identity. And we will walk through this scripture together as we understand what God has for us. Matthew 5 verse 14. He says, ye are the light of the world. First, he says, you are the light, which is identity. And the light of the world, that means the place of men, the systems, the aeon of this world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. First of all, I remember that in the times we are taught of what happened in the Old Testament, that the king's palace is always placed on the hill. And the reason is because that is royalty. So that exaltation is elevated. That elevation is important. And apart from that, it gives him the ability to see the entire land that covers under his jurisdiction. And Jesus says that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. That tells me that because you are light, by God's design, you are set on a city. That means you do not have to struggle to make your name shown. You do not have to struggle to try and make something of yourself, because in God's grand design, you are a city set on a hill. Now that is the first step. The second step, please let's have that, Ephesians 5:14. It says that the lamp that is set will not be hid under a bushel, but it will be put on a candlestick so that it will light up everyone that's in the room. So as the body of Christ, we have the opportunity to stand in the place of authority, to stand in an elevated place and light up the entire world. But even with that, as individuals, we can stand in a room and shine so bright that people who are there, Apostle in the same teaching of this same scripture told us that people were there in that darkness and they were comfortable. Doesn't that remind you of Isaiah 60 verse 2 and 3, where he says that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people? It gets to a point that people become so comfortable with darkness that they do not see, do they understand. And the scripture tells us that this is one of the strategies of the kingdom of darkness. We understand that when there is darkness, there is blindness. And that's why the definition of what light is, it is that is that which makes all things manifest. Apostle in that same teaching told us that in Genesis chapter 1, let's have that please. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. He says that, and God looked at that darkness, looked at that chaos, and he said, there was light because Jesus, God said, light be. God called light out of darkness. God called light out of darkness. That reminds me of what happened with Jesus. Because at some point there was light. God created a heaven and an earth. But something happened and darkness seemed to cover the entire earth. But the Spirit of God still hovered over that darkness. Are you here today? And in the beginning, you started with your scripture. You started as a man and a woman of God, as a child of God, and all things were working for you. But then came a season where it looked like your prayer was not going anywhere. It looked as if there is so much struggle in your life that you begin to question, am I really saved? But I'm here to tell you today that the Holy Spirit still hovers over that chaos. And he's just waiting for one word, and that is light. For God spoke and he said, light be. The same thing happened with Jesus. Jesus came as that light. In his light, we saw light, the people said. And that light changed the lives of men. And then it came to a point where Jesus hung on that cross. And he was like, what happened? This light, is he being snuffed out? This light, is he dead? But it was just on that third day. That third day. When it looks as if there is confusion and darkness and chaos, there's nothing for you again. Remember, there is that day where the light of God will raise you out again, and that resurrection power lifts you up out of that trouble. So whatever you came with today, don't think that this is the end for you. No, there is more. And all you need is light. 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 Please, let's have verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. He says, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Allow me to go through this. And if you are writing, please go ahead and do this. Let your light so shine. The first word, let. Let. That means to permit. And for me, that means it is a faculty of your will. So even though God calls you light, even though God says that you can do great and mighty things, he still needs one thing from you. And that's your will. And in the school of ministry, we are learning every day. We're being taught about the ways of being subject to the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching us how to be able to let that light shine. So he says, let your light. In the concept of physics, when white light hits a prism, what happens is that same white light comes out on the other end as a dispersion in which we call colors. For me, what that means is that when God's light shines in through me, what comes out of me is the identity, the uniqueness of what God did when he created me. And the beauty of this life is that it is your light that needs to shine, not the light of God, not the light of Jesus, not the light of Apostle Joshua Selman, but your own light. That means the light that comes from the word of God needs to stir something in you that will transform you to come out with your own light. And in that spectrum of light, there is the blue, the red, the yellow, the green. So you may come out and yours is very fiery. You are red light. So you need to be the one that will enter that mountain and bring down things. But in the same time, you can be the light that comes out as blue. You are very calm. But in the beauty of God's creation, all lights are important. So let your light so shine that men may see your good deeds. So you need to shine before men. You do not shine in your room alone. So don't sit down and think that I am just a Christian. I will keep myself away from the world. No, you need to rise. You need to rise. You need to rise because that light is important. That light is what is keeping the world. That light is what is keeping everything in the aeon. That light is what will make this whole life become powerful. So the next time you're scrolling on your phone and you see a news that you know is bad, you stand up as light And you begin to pray about it because that becomes your power of intercession. At that moment, in your room, you become the city that's set on a hill. Because just like Moses, the time that Joshua was fighting with the children of Amalek, Moses went up to a hill. And as long as his hands were raised up, Joshua and his children of Israel won that battle. But the moment his hands began to come down, it was like everything was being defeated. So next time you hear a news, rise up and say that I am that light, and begin to pray and declare that the God of all salvation must come in this place and discomfit darkness, because darkness cannot stay where light is. I want you to bow your heads and begin to pray, because the God of all salvation is here. God counts on you to be the light to discomfit darkness. God counts on you to be the one that will change the whole world. God counts on you to be the one that will bring the preservation, the character that God needs, to be the one that shines. Oh Father, bless me in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray and contend for deeper light. Contend and ask the Lord for increase. Increase in everything you do. Hallelujah.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.